So one of our stingers is actually based on Lavender
Town. I know, yeah.
I love that.
I'm trying to mix it up. I feel like that one doesn't get used enough.
I know.
There you go.
I love that song though, the Lavender Town.
Oh, it's a banger. It's a straight banger. Do 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 do
do do do. I mean, that's actually terrifying. Your rendition is terrifying. I just love that, like, both of us like are hitting it on key.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody, welcome to a truly horrific, some would say horrifying, some would say mortifying, but you know what? I'm going to say it. I'll just say it. It's going to be a hell of a good time. A special Halloween special Halloween special of the Let's Get Gaming podcast. That's right. It's spooky season, boys and girls. And if we were a normal podcast that adhered to a conventional numbering system, this would be episode 31. But because we got to be millennial snowflakes, it's episode 29, baby. So today, my ghouls and ghoulettes and non-binary ghouls. That's right. We're inclusive here. I got the boys. We're going to be doing something a little bit special, a little bit different to get into the Halloween season. With me this week, Pasquale Galuzza.
Hello.
Chris Monpetit.
I've seen enough horror movies to know that any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
And Stefano Fontana.
Heard it from a friend of a friend of mine.
All right.
Ooh, that's
good. So that's not bad. Okay. It's a little bit more of a cerebral opening. I like it. And I'm your host, Patrick Dennehy. I don't have a Halloween intro, but you know what? I'm just going to ride off the laurels of my co-host. So, you know, it's good enough. On this episode, we're gonna be doing a little bit of a different. We're going to be talking about our favorite horror games, horror as a genre when it comes to gaming as well. But we're going to be taking you on a spooky ride through four, some well-known, some not so well-known gaming creepypastas that exist throughout the internet. And if you'll allow us, we're going to titillate and excite you on this Halloween season. I know. But before we get into it, gentlemen, you know, Stefano, let's start with you. What have you been playing? Keep it spooky.
Oh, I have not been keeping. Well, you know, actually, I kind of have been keeping it spooky. This is our lucky week because I've been trying to grind out some Xbox Game Pass quests, and one of the quests for the month of October, because it is a horror, like it's a spooky season, two of them were play Five Nights at Freddy's, like turn it on. And the second one was die once in oh my god, I am forgetting the name. What is the okay, anyway, whatever, I'm gonna forget.
So it's great game. Start, it was a horror game. Perfect way to start it. Okay.
Why am I gonna forget it?
Oh man, this is so good.
This might be the most Let's Get Gaming podcast situation I've ever examined. Yeah. I'll come back. I'll remember.
Okay, yeah, that's totally fine. But yeah.
Anyway, I played this game. I'll remember what it's called. It's a horror game. I shouldn't have got me anything. Well, that's a game. That's not a person. anyway, the Game Pass quest was to die once in it, so I died. And then I turned it off and never played it because I do not like horror games. This will be not as exciting from me, from my perspective.
You don't like getting scared.
No, I do not like getting spooked.
No?
I'm a little scared boy.
No?
I'm a baby-ass baby. And I do not like being scared. And so I don't play them. Don't play them. I like thrillers. They're fun.
Yeah.
Bioshock. Those are good. But otherwise, I've been playing Mass Effect. There's some spooky levels in Mass Effect, I guess, but not really.
That's awesome. Chris? What about you? What have you been playing?
I just finally beat Assassin's Creed, so I can finally.
Oh my god!
That's a Halloween miracle.
The true horror is now. I got to grind out the last few trophies.
Have you played Valhalla?
No,
Valhalla?
I will eventually get there. I'm trying to go in chronological order here.
I mean, chronologically, I think Valhalla is before Syndicate.
Well, I mean, release date chronological.
So what's next on your to play list?
I think I'm gonna go to something spooky. I think I'm gonna play Prey. I think is next. Ooh. On my playlist. But I got a few Nintendo games I want to start getting into, like
Want to play some Hades. I got to finish up some Pokemon. Got a few other things to play. Alice and I played a little bit of WarioWare. Not enjoying it as much because I seem to be better at it than her. So not too happy with me about that.
Have you tried just letting her win so that, you know, she doesn't hold
it? I told her just to like get good.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that that's usually the way to go with, right? Like if you're bad at a game, just get better.
Yeah, just get better at it.
But don't get better at it than me because then I don't want to play with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah, you need to be the best.
It sucks when you're in that limbo, like when you're better at, especially at like Super Smash Bros, when you're like, you're better than all your friends, but you're not good enough to be a pro. So you have to like kind of pretend to suck so that you can at least play with someone.
I'm like halfway decent with like the Inkling. To the point where like I could probably take anybody who doesn't play Smash Brothers and it would look impressive to them. But like if I were to go up against anybody that has any, like if somebody knows how to like wave dash, I'm screwed.
Yeah. I'm like that with Mega Man and surprisingly Terry. I really like Terry.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't expect that of you. Have you had a chance to try out Sora now that he's officially
released? I have not. I've played all the other new characters except him. So I think that's something I'm probably going to check out.
Yeah. I'm looking. I still have to give him a test. I don't know, man. It's weird. I'm at the point of video games where like I'm good enough to like people who don't know how to play a game, I'm impressive to them. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, but if anybody knows what they're talking about, they're like, this dude has no idea what's going on.
Well, I need to interrupt briefly. Who the hell is Terry?
Terry's from Terry. Final from, is it Final Fight or is it from King of Fighters? King of Fighters, I think.
King of Fighters, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
See, again, like I said, if anybody knows what we're talking about, just bad. But yeah, it's an old school beat 'em up brawler fighting game.
Cool.
Yeah, they got to get their representation, Smash.
The game I was talking about was the Evil Within 2. Just
Wow. Then, to die in the Evil Within 2? That's not gonna take you much time.
It took me about 5-10 minutes.
What do you get for completing the quest?
So you get these points that go towards a total amount of points that can be traded in for gift cards or money or
oh really?
That's a good idea, man. If only everyone else was doing it.
It's almost like they could.
I know, it's like it's really whatever. Anyway, let's go on. Finish your tangent.
I was going to say, I actually also forgot I've been playing Back for Blood, and that game is really dope, and we should all play it together. Because
I've heard there's a lot of people complain that the voice acting is really bad.
I find it like, it's like cheesy, like a cheesy action movie. I don't think it's bad. I think it's on purpose. But that could be, I'm not playing that game to be like, let me listen to the lore and like hear the voice acting. You know what I mean? Like, I played while talking to Mark. I wasn't really listening.
Gotcha.
The gameplay is really fun. Items are cool, guns are cool, the menu system is pretty cool. I have no idea how they're going to monetize it. I'm sure
they'll find a way. Don't worry, don't you worry, man.
Life finds a way.
rest my pretty little head.
They could do what Pokemon Unite decided to do and put in $40 skins.
That's maybe they'll do that. What's frustrating is the skins are all locked behind having to play with people.
Oh, I hate having to play with people.
It's like the downfall of all video games.
Yeah.
but it is fun to play with you. So if you guys could all get it for PlayStation, we could all play together.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down. I'm always down to play games with people. As long as it's like you guys and not like random people on the internet.
Yeah, people we know.
Yeah, I want to know them.
Last statement.
Yeah. Pasquale, what have you been playing this week?
I'm still playing Persona. It's not horror, but the horror is that I didn't beat the next palace.
Yeah.
There's a huge gap in between.
Uh-huh.
And I got to this palace, and I kept dying in one spot. Like, I'm still there. I gotta fucking get through it because yesterday I was just tired and I must have died like 3 times in the same spot.
Which palace are you on currently?
I don't remember his name now, but it's like Haru's dad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's a pain in the ass. That's one of the ones they reworked in Royale.
Okay.
I think I got stuck in a palace, but I had the pre-order characters that are like way overpowered and I just cheesed it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm fairly leveled right now. I think I'm like level 40 or something like that. And for the area, I think I'm okay. It's just I keep screwing up, and I don't know. They keep getting these hits that it just makes me unconscious or something, and then I get screwed. Anyway, yeah.
That's you know, I my last week has been kind of weird. I haven't really had much time to play games because I went to my first convention since the pandemic started. We had Fan Expo in Canada, so I went there, and it was a lot of fun. It was awesome. I got to meet a couple of voice actors that some of you guys might know, and I got to talk to them a little bit, get a couple autographs from them. I didn't sign anything for them. They weren't interested. But I met somebody.
You offered named, they're missing out.
I know, whatever, but it's fine. You know, it's okay. I want them to feel good. I met a nice woman by the name of Veronica Taylor. Some of you might know her as the voice of Ash Ketchum from the Pokemon anime series. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, dude. We got to very talk cool. to her a little bit. I got like a nice little poster signed, finding a place to put it up on my wall. And then I also went to meet the voice of Mario. But
oh, really?
But for whatever reason, I mean, I was really excited. And instead of Chris Pratt, there was like this old white-haired dude there. So I don't want to be rude. So I got him. He, you know, he signed like a Mario Kart 8 poster that I brought in preparation for this. But you know, whatever. Chris Pratt, if you're listening to this, you technically owe me. So you know, but it was overall it was a fun weekend. You know, it was nice to go back out into like the convention setting. I bought a whole bunch of shit. I bought a lot of stuff that I probably should not have bought, but they're here now, so it's too late for that. And hopefully as time goes on and things open up again, you know, it'll return back to what it was. Cause the one that I went to, it was scaled back for sure. Like you could tell that it was a much smaller event than what they're used to. It did not remind me of Fan Expo. It more so reminded me of like Comic-Con.
Yeah. I was going to say, was it like when we went to London Comic-Con?
It was exactly like when we went to London Comic-Con where there's like just better, a couple dudes awful. There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Totally overwhelming.
Yeah. I was happy for it. But I don't know, hopefully next year everything's back to normal and I can meet Chris Pratt. So
I want to go to one of those comic conventions that are like in the hotel by Downsview that are just comic book stores. Like on
I mean they'll probably start doing those again soon. I have to imagine, right?
It might have never stopped. There's only like 10 people to go to those.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, nobody shows up. Dude, okay, hold on. There was this one time I went to like there was like an anime convention. This was back when I was like, when I identified as a weeb, but it wasn't like Anime North, which is like the big one here in Toronto. Like it's a massive convention. This was like in like a Holiday Inn hotel. It was it was like a show, like a panel room, a board room, I guess is what you would call it. Mm. And that was it. And I remember like going all the way downtown. It was right next to Dundas Square, like just maybe the next street over from Dundas Square. And it was $10 to get in. And I remember like going all the way downtown. I was super excited for it. And like, dude, at the time, nobody knew I went because I was supposed to be working, but I called in sick and I just went downtown instead. So I spent like the $10 to get in there. And it was like the saddest attempt of anything. I don't remember what it was called. I'm not going to put them on blast, but like, my God, dude, it was like two notches away from being like, you know, pay $10 for like a couple minutes in the ball pit. But it was
like
bad.
Those small ones. I like those small ones because it's just essentially Artist's Alley and like comic book dudes.
Yeah, I like those too. But this one was just weird.
Was just comic book dudes. It was just a guy's house.
It was just like some dude's chair. House.
It's like yeah, it's just like a couple guys that like drew pictures of like furry pornography and stuff like that, and they're like trying to push it onto you.
You don't have to push it on to me. That's what I came for, right? So, I mean, like, you know.
Stop yelling at me. I'm buying it.
Whatever.
The money's in my hand.
Shut up and take my money.
Please, I wouldn't buy the prepared artwork. I would get commissions of my OCs. Okay. I'm not going to go there for, like, whatever. That's besides
your
the
little
point.
Fantasies.
Yeah, come on. This is where the real money comes in. From.
you got the deep pockets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, man. Anyway, it's Halloween. So we got a couple of creepypastas for everybody. And I think we got a good selection. However, we're going to read them. We're going to talk about them. Because who doesn't like to get a little spooked on the horror day? So I guess Boom Stinger, but all of them are going to be the Lavender Town Stinger we have. Yeah, Boom Stinger. All right. So I was going to read one that I talked about. I talked to the guys before, but I changed my mind just because I think this one's topical and I think it's an interesting one. So I'm going to put on my best announcer voice. I'm going to read you the story of the Minecraft creepypasta.
Ooh, very nice.
All right. I'd recently spawned in a new world and single. Oh man, this is a great start. Great start. I had recently spawned in a new world in single player Minecraft. Everything was normal at first as I began chopping down trees and crafting a workbench. I noticed something move along the dense fog. I had a very slow computer, so I had to play with a tiny render distance. I thought it was a cow, so I pursued it, hoping to grab some hides for armor. It wasn't a cow, though. Looking back at me was another character with the default skin, but his eyes were empty. I saw no name pop up, and I double-checked to make sure I wasn't in multiplayer mode. He didn't stay long. He looked at me and quickly ran into the fog. I pursued him out of curiosity, but he was gone. I continued on with the game, not sure what to think. As I expanded to work, I saw things that seemed out of place. For the random map generator to make 2x2 tunnels in the rocks, small perfect pyramids made of sand in the ocean, and groves of tree with all their leaves cut off. I would constantly think I saw the other player in the deep fog, but I never got a better look at him. I tried increasing my render distance to far whenever I thought I saw him, but to no avail. I saved the map and went on the forums to see if anybody else had found the pseudo player, but there wasn't any. I created my own topic telling of the man and asking if anyone had a similar experience. The post was deleted within 5 minutes. I tried again, and the topic was deleted even faster. I received a PM from username Herobrine containing one word, stop. When I went to look at Herobrine's profile, the page 404'd. I received an email from another forum user. He claimed the mods can read the forum user messages, so we were safer using email. The emailer claimed that he had seen the mystery player too and had a small directory of other users who had seen him as well. Their worlds were littered with obviously man-made features as well and described their mysterious player to have no pupils. About a month passed until I heard from my informant again. Some of the people who had encountered the mystery man had looked into the name Herobrine and found that the name to be frequently used by a Swedish gamer. After some further information gathering, he was revealed to be the brother of Notch, the game developer. I personally emailed Notch and asked him if he had a brother. It took him a while, but he emailed me back with a very short message. All it said was, "I did, but he's no longer with us." I haven't seen the mystery man since our first encounter, and I haven't noticed any changes to the world other than my own. I was able to press print screen when I first saw him. This is the only evidence I have of his existence. There we go. The origin of Herobrine. I don't know if you guys remember, but when Minecraft first started, This circulated pretty fast around like the whole internet being like, yo, dude, there's like an evil Steve or something like that. And I remember like, you know, when Minecraft first came out, met God, dude, I guess I would be in like high school at this point.
Yeah.
Even back then, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I remember like loading up Minecraft and like just running around looking to see if I could find this dude. And this was like around the time when like, you know, the internet was first starting to become a place where you could go and talk to people about things. Right. It was still for the most part in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you would literally be going to places like 4chan or like Reddit and like going to the Minecraft subreddit or going to the Minecraft board being like, yo, has anybody heard about Herobrine? And people would be jumping up like, yo, I saw him in my game. He had like no pupils. He came at me. He launched lightning at me, destroyed my farm. I'm like, dude, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of these posts popping up on 4chan back in the day when Minecraft was just still in its alpha.
Yeah. Minecraft had like a lot of weird stuff around it, like when it was first coming out. I don't know. I guess it was like, you know, it's a cultural phenomenon. Everybody was playing Minecraft because when it first came out, it was free. You could just go and download it.
Yeah.
And there was an option to go and pay for it later on when it was like further along in its development. But people were, you know, like I remember like the creeper pig fiasco was going on when like people were seeing pigs standing up, turning into creepers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There was like weird glitches that like put you through the ground. And some people were like saying that, oh, you could see like right into hell. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Stuff like this. We need more stuff like this in gaming.
It's like schoolyard tales.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, every single one of the stories that we have prepared for you tonight is basically schoolyard tales, right?
Yeah,
I love it.
In one way or another. Because that's what I love about this stuff. This is like from the age of like some weird shit happened to me last night when I was playing this game. You know, an easily describable bug. However, I think somebody might kill themselves because of this. You know, like it's one of those.
Well, it's funny you say that because the one that I have is also one that I remember hearing when I was on the schoolyard.
Oh, Chris, which one is this?
This one is this one's very near and dear to my heart. This is the Lavender Town Syndrome.
Boomstinger.
The Lavender Town Syndrome, also known as the Lavender Town Tone, or the Lavender Town Suicides, was a peak in suicides and illness in children between the ages of 7 and 12 shortly after the release of Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green in Japan back in February 27th, 1996. Rumors say that these suicides and illnesses only occurred after the children playing the game reached Lavender Town, whose theme music had extremely high frequencies that studies showed that only children and young teens could hear. Since their ears are more sensitive, they could pick up on the higher frequencies. Due to the lavender tone, at least 200 children supposedly committed suicide, and many more developed illnesses and afflictions. The children who committed suicide usually did by hanging or jumping from heights. Those who did not irrationally complained of severe headaches after listening to the Lavender Town's theme song. Though Lavender Town now sounds differently depending on the game, this mass hysteria was caused by the first Pokemon game released. After Lavender Tone incident, the programmers had fixed Lavender Town's theme music to be at a lower frequency, and since children were no longer then affected by it. One video appeared in 2010 using special software, that's in quotes, to analyze the audio of Lavender Town's music. When played, the software created images of unknown near the end of this audio. This raised a controversy since unknown didn't appear until Generation 2 in the games of Silver, Gold, and Crystal. The unknown translate to the words, "Leave now." There's also said to be a beta version of Lavender Town. It's said that the beta version of Pocket Monsters was released to some kids to test the games. And there is a video of that beta version where you can find that on the internet.
Dude. So Pokemon itself, I mean, like Lavender Town has so much surrounding it when it comes to like urban legends and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. The story of the White Hand and all that, and like how, you know, Gary's Pokemon actually died. And
yep.
I think it's really cool. And again, every single one of these stories is from the era of like the internet wasn't really a thing, you know? I love Lavender Town. I think bar none, it's probably one of my favorite quote unquote urban legends in all of gaming. The story of Lavender Town, and specifically the music and the damage that it caused to different people.
Yeah, I remember hearing this like story back in 1999. Like that's how old this is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well, I mean, Pokemon Red and Blue came out in Japan a little bit before it came out in North America, right? So we're talking about 25-ish years ago.
Mm.
Right, yeah. Pokemon as a franchise is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Pokemon Red and Blue came out maybe 24, 23 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago when you're looking at like technological advances and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I think it's awesome. This type of creepypasta, the whole like, oh, scary music makes people do stuff. I don't know why, but it's always up there on my list of like, that's kind of badass.
Well, it kind of follows the whole thing of Satanic Panic, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was like that whole movement in the 80s where you had like all these evangelical people being like, oh, if you listen to these metal records and play them backwards, it's the devil talking to you.
Led Zeppelin.
Or you could just listen to them forwards and listen to the devil that way too.
Yeah. There's more than one way to listen to the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
I mean,
play your albums backwards. It's not good.
I watched Little Nicky. Well, everyone knows if you play Chicago backwards. <it's>...
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that was a wild time. Can you imagine that there was like an actual period of time where people believed that what music you listen to was like going to summon some like mystical beast?
People believe right now that we are getting injected with microchips that will be controlled by the government.
Yeah, I guess when you put it that way, it doesn't sound that far-fetched.
It does not. I think it actually sounds more realistic.
I just find it so funny that everyone was like, oh, you got these metal albums and all this stuff. It's going to corrupt our children. And they're like, yeah, let's like ignore like all the people that are like creating pop songs just to mass market like specific things and hide messages in them, like pushing sex towards children.
Yeah. You know what's going to corrupt children? Horrible parents.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not a parent.
Shots fired.
Are you suggesting that you have to parent your child?
I
mean, the name says that.
I mean, what do you think is going to mess up a child more? Listening to Pearl Jam or having two parents that are constantly telling them that they're not good enough and that their actions will lead them down a path of eternal damnation?
It's got to be Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Pearl Jam, dude. Pearl Jam,
come on. 100%.
Because do you know what Pearl Jam stands for? Oh. Oh, yes. What quality do you know?
I actually don't.
it's a semen joke.
Is it?
Pearl Jam, yeah.
Oh, all right. Sure.
He still doesn't get it.
I don't think he gets it.
I get it.
Yeah, it's like what you spread on toast.
Okay. Well.
But elsewhere.
That's gross.
You mean penis butter?
Happy Halloween, everybody. Be here all week.
That's a Valentine's Day joke.
Jesus. Hey, baby. Went to the store. Got you some fresh Pearl Jam.
Oh, my God.
Mmm. Pulpy.
Oh, my God. Tastes very fertile.
Why are we doing this? All right. Next one, Stefano. I believe you're up next, sir.
All right.
Boom Stinger.
I heard this story from a friend of a friend of mine.
Oh, shit. Oh, nice, nice reference. Killing you with the 90s references.
It's called Polybius. Polybius is an urban legend about a rare arcade game released in 1981. The game was created by a mysterious company called Sinesloschen. It's German. German for sense deletion. Whatever. And was a puzzle slash shoot 'em up somewhat like Tempest. It was only released in a few suburbs of Portland, Oregon, where all the creepy stuff happens. Like Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
No, that was Seattle.
Yeah.
It was supposedly very popular with people forming long lines to play it. However, players reported strange things about the game, such as hearing a woman crying and seeing grotesque faces out of the corner of their eyes. Players would also have nightmares, experience nausea, headaches, blackouts, or even develop amnesia. Some even committed suicide. Others stopped playing video games altogether, and at least one became an anti-video game activist. Oh my God, what is talking to me?
Oh, dude, you're angering it.
It's Polybius. It's getting to
me. Oh my God, lock your door, Steph.
Dude, this is the only podcast where you get active jump scares.
Skynet. It's not after us.
That was terrifying.
You okay, Stefano? I think you're angering the machine.
You angered it.
Damn. That was Polybius coming to get me. That's weird. Anyway, some even committed to others stopped playing video games altogether, and at least one became an anti-video game activist.
Right.
According to one owner of an arcade, men wearing black suits would often come to collect records from the game. They did not take any money, simply data on gameplay. Because of this, the leading theory is that it was some sort of government experiment using subliminal messages. The game remains in obscurity as around 1 month after as around 1 month after its release, all of the cabinets suddenly disappeared. One cabinet reappeared in an arcade in 1998, but quickly disappeared again. While some have tried to recreate the game, no one has ever found the original ROM. You can download this game on the That German Name's website.
Is it free to play? I wonder if they made it free to play. That'd be nice.
I'm not clicking the website because I don't need to anger the machine again.
No, yeah, you're already on Skynet's watch list right now. That's right. So let's just play it safe for now. I love these stories, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up like obsessed with like, I guess, supernatural, paranormal like stories. Like I'd always look up stuff like this and be like, oh dude, I want to see a Mothman. But I mean, this one, it hits all the buttons for me. You got the Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got potential conspiracies, people disappearing, women screaming, you know, everything that I'm into on a day-to-day basis. It's just, it's there. Yeah.
It reminds me of like a plot to like a Stranger Things spinoff.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Like I can totally see this like set in the early 80s, you know, people going to the arcade, all of a sudden machines go wild, man.
There's a very cool, video done by the angry video game nerd on Cinemassacre about this arcade cabinet, and it kind of like explains like the lore behind it and does it in a very, very cool way. I highly recommend anyone check that out for Halloween if you want, for like a really cool like Halloweeny kind of video.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best when we put up the podcast. Check the description because I'm gonna try and remember to include the links to all the creepypastas that we're gonna be reading on the show, so you can go check them out, learn more about them if you're interested, and you know, you could read your own, maybe find another spooky story for Halloween.
Which, you guys remember that movie that came out in like 2006 that was all about like a video game that like turned into real life, and if you died in the video game, you died in real life?
The Matrix.
No, well, yes, but no.
You die in the game, you die for real, dude. Which one is that? There's been a few that are like that.
Hold on.
Are you thinking of Spy Kids 3?
No, I'm thinking of Stay Alive, I think.
Oh, I have not watched that one.
I don't know this one.
What are you talking about even?
I'll be honest with you, if a movie came out after the year 2012, there's a good chance I haven't seen it. Unless it's a Marvel movie, because I am a basic white bitch. That's about it. Yeah.
Me too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Pasquale.
Yo. Okay.
Do you have a creepypasta for us? The last one of the show?
Yeah, I'll give you one.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Boom Stinger.
All right. So this one is for LSD Dream Emulator.
Jesus.
So LSD Dream Emulator is about an experience that the player has with the very strange game of the same name. Given that the game itself is already rather disturbing on its own, it would already make sense for there to be something creepy about it. But the extent that this creepypasta takes it is quite a bit much. The original game is programmed to have incredibly random and strange occurrences that were all based on a series of dreams that the developer had kept in a journal. However, things escalate as the player comes across extremely violent and gruesome images of real-life murders until he reaches the end, where the player is given a link to a website with a message written in Japanese. It just so happens that the player has a friend who is fluent in Japanese and asks him to translate the message. After the message is revealed, his friend tells him what the message translates to and to never tell him anything else about the game. 2 weeks later, it is revealed that his friend traveled to Japan and murdered the lead designer of LSD and shortly killed himself soon afterwards. It is strange just how effective LSD Dream Emulator is as a creepypasta, when it actually is not that different from the myriad of other video game creepypastas that tend to also involve a lot of gore. Of course, LSD on its own is a game where this type of discovery would not be far off seeing as how LSD is rather a disturbing game on its own, and it did have some scary aspects, such as an alleyway with hanged corpses and a gray man that stalks you through certain dreams.
Like that.
However, it is simply the execution that makes LSD Dream Emulator as great as it is. The game itself is already weird, but it slowly starts to escalate, and considering that the actual ideas of images used already puts a disgusting image in your mind, it really helps to drive home the point.
Dude, I love how like every creepypasta is basically like, you play this game and then you just want to go kill someone. whether an innocent bystander or yourself.
It's almost like these creepypastas were made by far right extremists saying that video games are bad.
I don't think that's it at all. I think that all these creepypastas were written by like people within the 10th or 11th grade who were going through their edgy period and were like, yo, what if playing Pokemon made you kill yourself? Wouldn't that be lit, bruh?
This is an Eva Netanyahu thing.
Yeah, this is. And, you know, of course, we have to entertain the fact that these are all actual real accounts that did happen that are being, you know, covered up by the controlling government overlords.
Those are people, yes. Like chips.
Yo, guys, speaking of which, complete topic change. I like have you guys been watching Inside Job on Netflix?
No.
So it came out a couple of days ago. I would recommend it. It's good if you're a fan of like, you know, the Rick and Morty adult animation type genre, but it's basically like following like this girl who works at the secret shadow government, and their job is like they run all the conspiracy theories around the world, and they're the ones who are really running the planet.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah, so it's a fun. Yeah, it's actually a documentary. A lot of people don't know this. Yeah,
it's actually made by a Toronto studio.
What's that?
It's made by a Toronto studio.
Is it really?
Yeah.
He's looking this up right now.
Jamfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't spoil it. Okay. I'm only on episode 3, so I still got a lot more.
That's just the company. No spoilers.
That's fine. Yeah. do you know what the company in the show is called?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's so good. Look, I'm a stickler when it comes to comedy. This is the one joke that I'm like, that's actually good. Okay. The name of the company they work for is Cognito Inc.
I'm incognito.
That's the joke. I saw that once. I'm like, that's good.
Clever.
They get points for that
clever
one.
Clever girl.
Yeah. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed our terrible readings of various creepypastas from around the world. But we're not done. We still got some more stuff to talk about.
I think I prefer movie theater creepypastas.
What do you mean movie theater?
Creepypastas. Like the whole Macbeth one where like the play is cursed and if you say Macbeth on stage you'll die.
Dude, okay, let's talk about that, right? Because like what was the actual story behind that? They were supposed to be using play swords, like, you know, like blunted swords that are used for performances. But unfortunately, the night of the
performance, this is very topical for what just recently happened, which is unfortunate.
What do you mean? Recently happened?
With the production of Alec Baldwin's Rust.
Oh, it was actually very similar to what literally just happened. So maybe we should just pump the brakes on
it. No, if it's topical, that's good for the SEO. All right.
Somebody said Macbeth there.
Yeah. So this is the story that I heard, and I might be wrong, but they were supposed to be using play swords, and somebody either switched them out for real swords, or they mistakenly took real swords, or the lining that was along the sword to make them safe for use failed, fell off, or whatever it is. So they didn't know that the swords that they were using in the performance were properly sharpened swords.
So here's the curse of Macbeth. According to folklore, Macbeth was cursed from the beginning. A coven of witches objected to Shakespeare using real incantations, so they put a curse on the play. Legend has it the play's first performance, around 1606, was riddled with disaster. The actor playing Lady Macbeth died suddenly, so Shakespeare himself had to take the part. And other rumored mishaps, including real daggers being used in place of stage props for the murder of King Duncan, resulting in the actor's death. The play hasn't had much luck since. The famous Astor Place riot in New York in 1849, caused by a rivalry between American actor Edwin Forrest and English actor William Charles Macready, resulted in at least 20 deaths and 100 injuries. Both Forrest and Macready were playing Macbeth in opposing productions at the time. Other productions have been plagued with accidents, including actors falling off the stage, mysterious deaths, and even narrow misses by falling stage weights, as happened to Laurence Olivier at the Old Vic in 1937.
You know what I don't understand about...
And so this is the best part. To break the curse, you can avoid catastrophe if you utter the play that shall not be named, exit the theater, spin around 3 times, spit curse, and then knock on the theater door to be allowed back in.
Oh yeah, of course.
All right.
That's what I do whenever I leave a theatrical play. Actually, so I'm covered. You know, here's the thing I don't understand about, like, yeah, all these creepypastas, sure, but then also, like, you know, all these superstitions that are, you know, from years back. Where are all the new ones? Like, I mean, you know, sure, if these witches were around cursing Macbeth back in the day, why the hell, where are all the, I want new curses. I want, like, 2021 curses. I'm not getting any of that.
Nowadays, we have too much waiters to prove it.
Well, so back then it was cool. Back then they were like, Paradiseus just stabbed himself on the stage again. I'll just bring in the ringer. Nothing has happened within the last year and a half to prove the existence of curses. You can't point to one single event that shows that we are on a timeline that is cursed.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Mayans predicted that the world was supposed to end in 2012, but maybe someone was dyslexic and it was supposed to be 2021.
Yeah, they flipped it. Oh, damn.
Yeah, but I mean, the Mayans are also dead, dude.
Hey, we might be too.
So we predict the end of humanity.
Have you really felt alive since 2012?
Dude, I haven't felt alive.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. Well, I mean, look. We knew we were going to get existential at some point on the show.
I'll point this out. We probably all met each other around 2012, so that's messed up.
Straight up, if you guys end up being like my form of purgatory, I deserve it. That's totally fine with me. So we got one more topic on the show, and we'll go through it. And I'm interested in hearing you guys, you know, your opinions, because that's the format of the show, and really that's why you're here. Let's talk about horror as a genre when it comes to video games. And the reason why I want to talk about this is that when it comes to scary movies, they don't really do anything for me, you know? Like, yeah, a jump scare is going to get me just because it's unimaginative and I hate them. But there's a difference between, like, watching a scary movie and playing a scary game, where I feel like a horror game is something that is way more intense.
It's because the horror movies, there's a disconnect. Like, with the game, you're actually in control, or you think you're in control.
And yeah, it's actions, you're going through it.
I think it's more so that instead of watching it from the third person experience, like, you are putting yourself in that shoe of, like, I am going through the motions.
It also has to do with how, like, for a movie's sake, like, how good the movie is at being suspenseful and keeping you in that person's point of view. Because if they can do it well, they can do it as well as a game might be able to.
Yeah.
But it's easy to fall away from that.
Like, for me, whenever I watch a scary movie, that movie is going to be over in like an hour and a half, no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're playing a game and you're in control and you have to go through it, if you just sit there for an hour and a half, nothing progresses, right? Like, you're still there.
Oh, I've done that in games where I'll just sit there. I'm like, I'm not going to go that way. I know the guy's going to kill me.
Oh, I know you do, because every time I turn on the PS5, you're always playing Persona. I think you just have it on. I think, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure you have it on right now.
I don't, actually.
That's horseshit. You absolutely
do. You know what? Because I put it into, I just paused the game, but I put it into sleep mode, and it's like just running in the background, I think. So I guess technically it's still there.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I like the horror genre. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. You know, it's one of those genres that translates well into video games.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, after a while, I'm like, I get it, right? Like, one of my favorite horror games of all time is Until Dawn. I think it's a great game. It's awesome being able to actually make decisions that, you know, for the most part, do impact the story. I think that's great. But also, you know, when you're playing it through for the second, third time, you're like, okay, I get it. You know, like that illusion, that mystery behind it is completely stripped away.
Because you know the story now.
Yeah. So you at what point does a horror game not become a horror game?
When you memorize everything.
When you know what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're just ready for everything that's coming up. I mean, I guess.
To be fair, though, with that game, since you can make different choices, there's certain scenes you might never see unless you make a certain choice. So I would say by the third playthrough, you've probably seen everything.
Yeah.
But besides that, after anything after that, and that game, you need to play like five times to get everything.
Or yeah, more. We go through it quite a few times. Yeah.
Have we all played Until Dawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's one of those rare games we actually all played.
So can I tell you my experience with Until Dawn?
Tell us your experience with Until Dawn.
So I'm getting up to the final part of Until Dawn where the house is on fire.
I know what you're about to say.
And the big baddies there. And one of the features in the PS3 games with the six axis is that you have to hold the controller or the PS4 completely still, right? Because it's part of the six axis thing, right? So this is one of the very rare times that I forgot that I left my phone on, not on silent. And I'm at the part where I've got literally everybody's walked past the big baddie, and it's like the final segment, and I'm finally on the final character, which is Sam, which is played by Hayden Panettiere. And I'm holding my controller, and my brother calls me, and I fucking jump.
It worked. Success.
Killed my character. And I went, no.
And cursed your brother out.
Because I lost the trophy for that ending. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you had to restart it.
Was that the one for all of them living?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't have that.
Yeah.
Or all of them dying.
Oh. Well, I mean, I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah. That was my experience with it. It's like my brother calls me. I jumped because I was like, okay, don't move. And then my phone goes off, and I forget what my ringtone must have been. I think it might have just been like literally
the X-Files theme song.
No, I think it was literally just like the old sound of like an antique ringing phone. And I just
that's even worse.
That's way worse. Yeah. That was a cool feature of it, like sensing your movement, and you need to stand perfectly still while like this. So, what were they? Skinwalkers?
So it's Wendigos. A Wendigo, which is a Native American legend, basically that once you consume human flesh, you turn into like a horrible
monster, I guess. Or
Like you
monstrous perversion of humanity.
Yes, yeah, that's a good
which is interesting considering it, if it's from cannibalism, it's a Native American legend and not, you know, a German one, but that's fine. That's an old reference for you guys anyway. I think it was such a good game. I really want more of that. And you know, the technologies that went, because I remember like, yo, that was like one of the games, like the Pasquale, you came over with like another friend of ours. Because you picked it up. It wasn't with you. It wasn't with Stefano. Stefano, you weren't here.
I was there. I played it with you guys.
No, you weren't. was it you?
Yes.
It might have been. I don't think it's you.
I think it was the other one.
The other one.
The other friend that we have, that we collectively have.
Zachary.
And maybe.
Yeah. I was there for sure. I played.
Were you there?
Yes.
Wow. All
right.
I don't think you ever came. Yeah, you never came over to my house, dude.
Yes,
we literally recorded the podcast at your house on D&D.
There's video footage of it.
I don't think that's true at all.
All right. Well, I feel like
it's wrong. Right now. Yeah. It's okay. You don't have to gaslight me about my own memories. But yeah. I mean, like, honestly, whenever you're playing a horror game or anything like that, yeah, it's fun to play it by yourself. But when you have people with you that are all getting into it and freaking the fuck out, that's where the true magic lies.
So I think that's better.
Yeah. Oh, it's way better. Because I don't know about you, but like, what are your individual like scared personalities? Because people act differently when they get super scared, right? Like for me, I make a lot of jokes, right? You might notice that throughout this podcast, I always make jokes because I'm always in a sense of dread.
So my reaction is I have three, and it depends on like the moves, like mood set that I'm in. So like fearful, like if I'm like scared, I'm like flight, like I will bolt. I can just run,
getting out of there.
I'm out. Like like in a situation like to reveal like a little personal detail, I hate snakes, right? I do not like snakes. If I can, like, I inherit this from like my mother. I can sense a snake is around. I see a snake, I'm out. I'm bolt. I am like an Olympic athlete. I can jump 25 feet if I need to. I'm out. But like in the situation where I remember I was out, downtown, Toronto at the Ontario place.
Oh, okay.
When they used to do the Halloween haunt thing. And, I remember going down there with someone and we did the, like the scare house and everything, and I laughed the entire time. Like yeah. that was just my reactions. Like someone would jump out and go, ah! And I would just I would just laugh at them. I thought it was hysterical. And then there's the aggressive version of me where I get scared, where I will punch you in the face.
That's 100% my reaction. Especially the jump scares, I immediately go to punching.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I swing immediately. So just
I grew up in like a really rural area, like in an old farmhouse, and my dad thought it'd be funny the one time I came down. It was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Came down to go take a leak in the middle of the night. My dad's standing in the doorway, just in pure black, like it's pure black because like there's no lights or anything on. I come down and I walk into him and he goes, ugh, and I just cock my fist back. and then like once like the aperture of like my eyeballs like fixed, because like I like literally cocked back and I almost punched my dad in the face. And it's like, you're lucky, old man, because I almost dropped you.
I've genuinely punched one person who like snuck up behind me and I felt really bad about it, but they deserved it. You know, I feel like if you're going to do that, you need to like, you know, live with the consequences. I'm not going to say who it was. Nona, if you're listening to this.
See, my problem is we were broken into when I was like 12, 13-ish. And anytime like there's like a situation where I think like someone's like invading in my house, I will kill you to protect my things kind of mode.
Not my family, my things.
I got way too many collectibles on these shelves.
That's right.
Do you guys remember that really stupid trend where clowns were coming out of forests and like going in front of cars?
Yeah, so I do remember like
4 years ago.
What happened with that?
I'm glad it stopped.
That was around like when It Part One
came out. What a dumb trend. Like, first of all, especially the car one. If a clown came out of me with a knife, like look murderous,
run them over.
Hit them with my car.
Allegedly, you would. You're not saying that you would actively run over pedestrians in your vehicle.
I would never say that.
However, in a hypothetical situation where you were being chased with a knife, you would probably evade them by running them down with your
being
vehicle.
Provoked.
Yes,
I would try
yes.
my best to avoid them, but you know, when you're scared, it's just hard. It's hard. Adrenaline kicks in. You know what I mean?
I would avoid, you know, confrontation. However,
my car wouldn't. It's weird.
No, the car wouldn't. Yeah, this is wear car, dude. That's what it's
wear car.
Is it? I don't know. The killer clowns, those are gone, which thank God, because like I don't like clowns. I don't like clowns. I know it's a stupid one, but I don't like clowns.
No, I hate them. And that's the thing. Like, you better hope you have a real knife, because if you don't.
Yeah, if that's one of those rubber knives and you're just doing this for a laugh, it's not going to play well for me in court.
You're just kicking the shit out of you.
And if that is a real knife, the first time, then I'm running away.
You better stab me first the good time.
There was a Wonderland, Canada Wonderland, or at the time it was known as Canada Wonderland. They have the Halloween haunt where like the whole theme park is transformed into various mazes and haunted houses and you go through.
Yeah.
This was like a couple years ago, like a little bit after high school. And I went with a group of friends and there was like a clown asylum, which I'm like, this is the one I don't want to do. I do not want to do it. So we did it. Somehow, I don't know who, I still don't, to this day, I don't know who did this to me, but they had like actors in costume walking around like on the outside. So like while you're waiting in line, stuff, you know, you're not just bored to death. Somebody told them my name. And what they did then was, I guess, through a series of walkie-talkies, tell everyone my name. And I shit my pants. So it was probably the closest I've ever felt to death.
Did you find out? You never found out who it was.
I don't know
did it. You allegedly never found out, and they just don't exist anymore.
I don't know who did it.
So, like, you're walking in the line closer and closer to going inside, and then, like, every clown on the way is just calling you by name.
They just knew me.
Yeah. As you get inside, you're like, this is where I die.
That's like the worst version of them, of your friends telling the people at the restaurant that it's your birthday.
Oh yeah.
It's the worst version of that.
To be fair, if I had the choices between like putting on a hat and having like a whole bunch of waitresses sing happy birthday to me, or being murdered by clowns,
murdered.
I'd take the clowns.
Yeah.
See, what do you do in that situation? You have like this weird buffalo hat on and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, that fake smile.
And this can was, I eat my complimentary cupcake in peace?
It was, please? it was before Happy Birthday became public.
That's true. Yeah, because they never actually sung Happy Birthday to you. They always did like their own, like, you know, special flavor of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever have a birthday at Hooters?
No.
Do you know the song that they sing? Not that I would know. You know the song that they sing? You know the song they allegedly sing to you for your birthday at Hooters?
I do not. What is it?
They do the hokey pokey, but instead of arms, they use other parts of their bodies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Their fingers. They use their head.
Yeah, they use their head. Yeah.
Their nose.
Put them right in there.
Put them
both of them right in there. Yeah, so that's good. What are we talking about? We had a topic. Spooky games. Yeah, do you guys have any top, you know, what's your favorite spooky game? I guess we'll go around, share a little bit of personal information.
PT, that shit scared the hell out of
me. That was good.
I played that. I it showed up my downloads unexpectedly because that's what it did, and then I was like, "Ooh, I gotta play it." So I downloaded it, called my buddy over, and screamed like a little girl every second.
I think like PT is probably like the most recent example we have of like a potential urban myth.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, that game, it kind of is.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, really. Yeah.
You can't even download it anymore. So
no, it's gone.
And I still have it on my PS4. So
that the PS4 worst thing is worth like, a lot of money. Then.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about PT until after like the whole thing like disappeared.
You, you know what I'm really excited for is that I guarantee you in 20 years there's going to be an urban legend around PT because only certain PS4s have them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, that's gonna, there's definitely going to be a creepypasta. And I'm surprised like there probably is one right now.
We're like 50-year-olds and we're going to be like, I know the truth, but I'm not going to tell anyone.
I'm just going to keep my PS4 with the PT on there still, just for that moment, and then be like, I was part of that. I started this.
I was part of the mythos.
Yeah.
Too bad it's probably tied to your account and your credit card. So
that's fine. The amount of shit that's tied to my credit card right now is probably illegal.
Actually, I don't think it's tied to my credit card.
Yeah, no, PT was magical. Free. It was free. Yeah, it was a free demo.
Yeah.
No, your account that never is tied to your credit card. Just why?
He's thinking about
it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I had a credit card attached at that time. Hey, whatever.
He doesn't get it.
Doesn't
get it.
No.
Okay. PT, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
It's universally PT, isn't it?
Probably PT or Until Dawn, honestly.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I have a different one.
You got a different one?
Yeah.
What's yours?
I guess technically it's not classified as a horror anymore, but when it first came out, I remember playing this game in 1994.
Luigi's Mansion.
On my dad's computer that he just bought, which is Doom.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And Doom scared the fucking shit out of me. When I was 5? Yeah. Doom scared me, dude.
Doom 3 made me shit my dick. It was so scary.
Doom scared the shit out of me as a 5-year-old. Like that was like the most real thing that I had ever saw in like my entire life. I remember having to play like on God mode because like it was so scary.
Trying to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I look at it and I'm like this was awesome. Like,
you know, it's funny you say that because I had like a similar experience to like the old school Duke Nukem's.
Oh, very, yeah, another fun one like that.
Different atmosphere, different setting than like classic Doom, obviously, but like
same realm,
similar in like concept. Because I, you know, I was probably around the same age you were at the time of Doom when like when I had like a copy of Duke Nukem and like those creatures and monsters that would like, you know, in this weird like 2D but 3D,
like pig
scape that they put together,
pig alien robot men.
Yeah, it did terrify me, even though like you are disgustingly overpowered in a lot of those games, right? And
hail to the king, baby,
who got balls of steel.
Balls of steel. So,
bones.
There used to be a game that I would play called Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh yeah,
it was an old computer RPG and like it's a board game.
Yeah.
And on my desktop, my dad used to be an IT guy, so we had a lot of We usually have like really good graphics cards and stuff like that. And you know,
yeah, it's flex even harder.
We had a 20 meg hard drive. 20, and then we had 20 gig cards back when that was a lot of space. You know what I'm saying? Oof.
Damn.
Ooh, baby. That doesn't even fit the download for Call of Duty.
Like, so no.
Never mind, that's download. That's like a patch update.
That's right.
my phone has more RAM than my dad's first computer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we would play Vampire the Masquerade, but I had to play it through an S video cable onto my TV because my desktop monitor was too true color and it was too dark and scared the piss out of me. I was so scared all the time. And yeah. I don't know. I thought, like, because there was the Nosferatu vampires and, like,
yeah,
they were truly terrifying. And you became a vampire. It was just, and it was the future. And it was such a good game, first of all.
It's weird how, like, the older games are always scarier. I don't know if it's because we were younger, or it's just
you're a child, right? But, you haven't really experienced anything like it at that point.
But it's also like, for example, Silent Hill, where you're like, facing the pyramid heads and stuff like that, where it's just like, I don't know if it's the pixelation of everything or just how slow movement everything was, but
do you,
were scarier for some reason.
Do you guys remember Dino Crisis?
Yes.
That game terrified me when I first played it. And that was on, like, the original PlayStation. That's like the first, like, real jump to, like, 3D horror.
Yeah.
I remember, like, playing the demo for that one and just hating it because it was just dinosaurs popping out of nowhere, scaring the crap out of me.
Yeah. Well, things are different when you're a kid, right? Especially when that's, like, the first time you're, like, you're actually introduced to that form of technology.
Mm-hmm.
When, again, it is put into your hands as opposed to, like, watching, like, a, you know, that episode of Pengu with the walrus that scared the shit out of me, right? That's different than, like, me controlling Doom Guy.
Yeah.
Especially since when there was that jump in technology, when it went from, like, 2D, 3D renderings to, like, 60 to 3D models in, like, 3D space. It's just more uncanny. And also, I think this is fair to say, but games at the beginning of that transitional period looked scary in general, just because of, you know, they were disgusting.
I think it always looked scary because it always looks like it'll never get any better. Like, when I saw GTA Vice City, I was like, that's fucking real.
Yeah.
Those are real people looking at me. And I'm like, now that's a triangle face.
I'm more scared about, you know, things that aren't defined.
Do you remember
things that are defined?
GoldenEye coming out on the N64, and you're like, oh my God, that's Pierce Brosnan.
Like,
it looks just like him. And you're like,
this is real.
Like, wow, I am James Bond. And then you go back and play that now, and you're like, my God, I can't believe they were able to stretch this JPEG on this polygon.
Well, I used to know the wrestling games. Like, I'd play SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. And I was like, whoa, it's like I'm there. I am the Rock. Like,
yeah.
No Mercy and shit like that. Like, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, you all played Vice City, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, Pasquale, you're off the show. Okay. Play it when it gets re-released.
Yeah, I can play when it gets re-released.
Play the re-release on the Switch.
There was a secret in that game. If you went above the club and you went into the top room and there's a mirror, it didn't show a reflection. And so, like, it made it look like you were a vampire.
Yeah.
But the scary part of that was I would read up game facts on them and use the cheat codes and stuff like that. But one of the game facts was like, go up to here and meet a vampire. And so, like, my little kid brain was like, yo, there's a fucking vampire that's gonna come up here and kill me. Like, I'm gonna die and it's gonna be terrifying. And so, like, I would go up there and be like creeping in there, like all slow, like gun out, like,
yeah,
got this. But obviously it just meant because you look in the mirror and your reflection, that it's a PS2 game, like, they couldn't do reflections. but you can't even do them now. But your imagination, it's really hard. There's a lot of processing power. But your imagination just runs away with you, you know what I mean? Like,
I still remember playing, like, the first, like, Resident Evil game and opening up that door to a zombie, like, just attacking you.
Yeah.
Like, with that load animation.
Dude, I still remember the first ghost you encounter in Luigi's Mansion. Scared the shit out of me.
Not bad. That game actually scared me when I was like six.
Oh, it's a genuinely unsettling game if you're a child.
Mario.
Yeah. I met him. He was at Fan Expo.
Not Chris Pratt.
Not Chris Pratt. I'm still upset about that. I won't. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway.
Not Ron Jeremy.
No, he's not allowed in Toronto anymore.
Or around children.
Allegedly. Come on, man. You're going to get us in trouble with Anchor.
Shit.
Anyway, Let's move on to the final segment of the show to close out this haunted horror. We have a Halloween-themed version of the What's That game. This is the game where one of us describes the game poorly, and the rest of us have 10 yes or no questions to identify the identity of the unidentified game. We're keeping it spooky all the way throughout the show. Stefano, you won last week's game, which means you'll be hosting this one. So please, whenever you are ready, give us a description of your game described poorly. And remember, we're keeping it spooky this week.
So the game is spooky. The question, because it was hard to make a spooky question without giving away the plot of the game, is not spooky. But just so the game is spooky. So don't have to ask that question. It is a spooky game. A man looks for his wife at work.
Okay.
Let me get the wiki up. Hold on.
Sure. Is this game part of the Resident Evil franchise?
It is not.
Okay. It's good to know. Man looks for his wife at work. All right.
Is this made by Bethesda?
No.
Okay.
Wow. I think it's the first time you did a game that's not by Bethesda.
I only play Game Pass games, so it's really hard for me sometimes to.
Now I'm tempted to ask if this game is on Game Pass, which would not help me.
That wouldn't help at all.
What isn't?
That's true. Yeah, it's such a great deal. At a low price.
Well, we squeezed that in there at some point.
Yeah, there we go. We got it in. There's a Game Pass plug, which came from me, which is weird.
Yeah.
So we know it's not Resident Evil. What was the one that you asked, Chris?
It was a Bethesda game.
If it's Bethesda game, okay. All right. Squall, you got a question?
Not yet.
So I guess we'll just add, I'll just come out and ask it. Is this game, is the main genre of this game horror?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a horror game.
It's spooky.
It's spooky. Okay.
Is this a shooter?
What do you mean?
Do
you shoot in it, are you asking?
Is this in the perspective of a first-person shooter?
No.
Third person or second person, which could be difficult to pull off.
Because you imagine.
Not a lot of second-person horror games out there, huh?
Isn't that essentially just like DOS games where you like type in the
pretty command? Much, yeah.
Yeah. That would be really creepy.
That would be kind of cool, yeah. Okay. Man finds his wife at work?
Looks for his wife at work.
Looks for his wife. Okay. It's not Resident Evil? Bray.
Why can't I think of any horror games now?
Is this exclusive to one console?
No.
It's on multiple consoles. Okay.
You can guess now.
I have a guess.
Oh, shit.
Is this Dead Space?
It is.
Oh, dude! What did I say at the beginning of the show? We were talking about it before we started.
Is he looking for his wife in that game? Why can't
the whole time.
Yeah, number one. And ironically, I'm pretty sure his wife's name is Alice.
I don't remember what his wife's name, but if you save each chapter,
Alice is dead or something like that.
Oh, dude, spoilers. Anyway, hey, congratulations, Chris, for the win. Game. You're going to be hosting next week's episode of What's That Game? You know, Stefano, thank you for keeping it spooky.
I got you.
I appreciate it. That's awesome, dude. Hey, that's all the time we have for this episode. I hope you enjoyed our Halloween special. Who knows? Maybe we'll do it again next year if we're all still around. I don't know why that went bleak immediately, but hey, I was your host, Patrick Denny. Thank you all for watching. Remember, if you like the show, give us a review on Apple iTunes. You can also download and listen to the show anywhere that podcasts are available. Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, Anchor FM. But that's not all. So, you know, look around, shop around. We're not exclusive. It's cool. Whatever. It's not like we want you to listen or anything. Hey, Pasquale Galuzzo, thank you for joining me on the show.
Hey, had a good time. Goodbye.
Chris Monpetit, thank you for being here.
Good night, ghouls and boys.
And Stefano Fontana, thank you for being here.
The Raven, nevermore.
Yeah, it's all right. Hey, we'll see you next week on episode 30. That's right. We're turning 30 next week, boys.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
See ya.
Bye.
Boo.